Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
I'm going to start off today with a little disclaimer and a little explanation. Some of you earlier in the week noticed our sign out here. How many of you have read the sign that's out here on Hercules? That's good to know. Well, several days into the week, I was notified that one of the words was misspelled. Now, that's one sure way to make sure people are reading it, is to misspell something, but it wasn't done intentionally, okay? I want you to know that. The sign says, "Demons, diseases, and devils, oh my." Okay, that's what it says. And the word diseases was spelled D-E, okay? Now, part of this was some misunderstanding on the staff. I usually write out what's going on the sign, and I have terrible penmanship. So the difference between an I and an E is sometimes hard to distinguish. But then once somebody brought it to my mind, I thought, well, you know, that's the way we say it in Georgia. We say diseases. Anyway, we changed it back. It's spelled correctly. But I'm glad you were reading it. Demons, devils, and diseases. Now, I want to tell you what my motivation behind this was. It's because I remembered this scene from the movie, The Wizard of Oz. How many of you have seen The Wizard of Oz? Now, if you haven't seen The Wizard of Oz, I don't know what to do. The scene in The Wizard of Oz where it's Dorothy and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow, and they're entering the enchanted forest. And Dorothy says, "Are we going to see any wild animals?" And the Tin Man says, "Oh, yes, lions and tigers and bears." And the Scarecrow goes, "Lions." And Dorothy says, "And tigers." And the Tin Man says, "And bears." And then they start that famous chant as they walk into the forest. You remember it? Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! And then suddenly, jumping out right in front of them. And we've got a little video clip here I want us to watch. And I hope it works because we just tried putting this together this morning. All right. The play button's way down in the right-hand corner. There you go.
Oh, no! Shame on you.
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
No, but you tried to. It's bad enough picking on a straw man, but when you go around picking on poor little dogs.
Well, you didn't have to go and hit me, did you? Is my nose bleeding?
Well, of course not. My goodness, what a fuss you're making. Well, naturally, when you go around picking on things weaker than you are, why, you're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right, I am a coward. I haven't any courage at all. I even scare myself. Look at the cycles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Why don't you try counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
Oh, that's too bad. Don't you think the wizard could help him, too?
I don't see why not. Why don't you come along with us? We're on our way to see the wizard now, to get him a heart.
And him a brain.
I'm sure he could give you some courage.
Well, wouldn't you feel degraded to be seen in the company of a cowardly lion? I would.
Oh, of course not.
Gee, that's awfully nice of you. My life has been simply unbearable.
Oh, well, it's all right now.
Okay,
the wizard
that's
will fix everything.
That.
It's been in me so long.
In our scripture reading this morning, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. And the first thing the story tells us is that the people were amazed and said that he was teaching with authority that they did not recognize. It says authority unlike the scribes. And what this word authority really means is that he was teaching with a sense of self-confidence. He was teaching with this sense of knowing who he was and what he was doing. A sense of independence in his purpose. And the people recognize this right away. And then all of a sudden, this person starts heckling Jesus and saying, "I know who you are. You've come to destroy us." And Jesus notices right away an unclean spirit. And he says, "Come out, you unclean spirit." Now, this is kind of what happens in the scene we just watched from The Wizard of Oz. The lion jumps out, and Dorothy slaps him on the nose and says, "Stop that." And immediately, the whole scene changes. You see, we don't recognize some of these parables and stories of Jesus among us because we place them way back so long ago, and we put them in a time of when people believed in so many supernatural things that it's hard to recognize them in our own context. And we Christians have become so rational and so sophisticated that we fail to recognize and see what are really in these stories in the Bible. Do you realize, now, if you read the four Gospels, that probably 75 to 80% of Jesus' ministry is spent healing and exercising. The crowds are drawn to him, not because he's such a great orator, They are drawn to him because they are bringing their brokenness to Jesus. And Jesus is bringing wholeness into their lives. Now, we can go down all manner of rabbit trail here and try to rationalize this in terms of scientific understanding and mental illness and psychological things. We could do that. But the bottom line of the story is that people are bringing their brokenness to Jesus, and he brings them wholeness. And whenever Jesus encounters a disruptive force, as he does in this story, he calls it what it is. He says, "Come out, you unclean spirit." This happens numerous times throughout the stories of Jesus. And we in the church have basically swept many of these stories under the rug. In mainline Protestant Christianity in North America, we just don't talk about healing and exorcism very much, do we? Or unclean spirits. And the gospel text is filled with them. So what in the world do we do with it? There's a little chapel. It's about 90, 100 miles maybe north of Santa Fe, New Mexico. It's called the Chimayo Church. Has anybody ever been to the Chimayo Church? Some of you have been there. The Chimayo Church, according to an article written a few years ago in the Washington Post, the Chimayo Church is compared to Lourdes in France. And it is the National Park Service's most important Catholic pilgrimage center in the United States. And since 1970, it has been an historical landmark. The Chimayo Church is this tiny little chapel that people have understood for many, many years that there was something healing about the soil around that church. And hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people visit this little church every year to go into that church and to pray and to take a little medicine bottle or a baby food jar and put some of the dirt in those jars and take it with them. As a matter of fact, so much dirt is taken out that they have full-time employees replenishing the dirt in the chapel. It's still the dirt from the same area. Now, what's going on there? Tens of thousands of people are coming to this place and to people like Lourdes in southern France, bringing their brokenness, whatever that brokenness might be, and seeking wholeness. Jesus tells this unclean spirit to come out of the man. And I think it would be good for us to explore exactly what is an unclean spirit. Now, the words used here in Greek for unclean spirit tell us that this man is being profane. Now, profanity in biblical terms and in religious terms, is anything that's not accepted inside the community. It's cleanliness. It's what the Old Testament calls being clean. As a matter of fact, the word abominable means nothing more than unclean. Many, many things are abominable in the Old Testament and not allowed in the temple, and they have to go through a ritual cleansing in order to enter the temple. And this is the word that's used here. This spirit is an unclean spirit within the community. It's an unacceptable attitude. It's harsh language. It's profanity. And this is what Jesus is telling to come out of that man. It's cultic ritual cleanliness. And these unclean spirits are thoughts, actions, and conditions in our lives that separate us from God, that separate us from being in communion with God through other people. But they are also thoughts and conditions and actions that can be changed, that can be cleansed. And what this story is really asking us in the 21st century is, what are our unclean spirits? And I would like to suggest that some of our unclean spirits are our isms and anities. You know what isms and anities are? These are things that we hold on to, that we put up here in our lives, that we let control our lives. Some isms are communism, fascism, capitalism, consumerism, nationalism, globalism, corporatism. A few anities are vanity, insanity, sanity, inhumanity, urbanity, superhumanity, profanity, mundanity, inanity, churchanity. Our isms and our anities control our lives, even those that we hold most dear. And some isms are good and some isms aren't, depending on your perspective. Some anities are good and some anities are not, depending on your perspective. Because as I repeat one of my favorite descriptions of isms and anities, whatever they are for us, we all look weird from the outside. From the inside, we're perfectly normal. We're right. But from the outside, our flaws are evident. And Jesus is calling these things out of us. Because even the good isms, even the good anities, if we make them the thing that is most important in our lives, then it becomes unclean. Because it is a spirit that separates us from God. What are our unclean spirits? What are your isms and anities? when we come to our places of worship? What brokenness are we bringing? And what wholeness are we seeking? You know, the little chapel in Chimayo has some very interesting decorations. As a matter of fact, the prominent decoration in the chapel at Chimayo are walls filled with crutches and canes and leg braces and walkers. One gets the impression that these were left there by people who had entered using them. I personally did not witness that, but somebody, thousands of people, felt a wholeness brought to their brokenness when they went into that chapel. And we mainline Protestant Christians try to keep things at bay. So much so that we don't even use our imagination to say, well, if I don't really believe that, then what does it really mean? Not long after visiting Chimayo, one Sunday morning in our congregation on Capitol Hill, one of the members of choir had recently had some knee surgery. And when he went into the choir loft, he placed his crutches against the wall on the chancel and then hobbled on into the choir loft. And all through that service, unnoticed to those of us on the chancel, were a pair of empty crutches on the chancel. And there were several people in that congregation that day who came to me and said, have there been any healings here? What's going on in this place? All it took was a pair of empty crutches to ignite people's imaginations. And I'm suggesting this morning that we let this story ignite our imaginations. Not to sweep it under the rug as some ancient superstitious tale that happened a long time ago. Not something that only the faith healers do on television. But a call for us to examine the unclean spirits in our lives. What are they? And how do we live with that? Amen. My friends, sometimes we feel as if we are surrounded by unclean spirits. And we are. Unclean spirits around us, unclean spirits within us. But what the gospel tells us is that oftentimes a simple word is all that is needed. And sometimes that is a word of caution. Sometimes that is a word of warning. Sometimes it's just a polite, I wish you wouldn't talk like that in my presence. We need more people being the presence of Christ in the world, being the ones who say, as my late brother-in-law used to say, that just ain't right. So let us go from this place today, examining our own lives and being the presence of Christ in the world and having the authority, the confidence, the courage to say, come out. Amen.